Hey guys, Mari here to let you in on some very exciting news. If you remember during the Christmas season, we released our very first issue of Heaven and Home, and we were honestly blown away by how excited everybody was about it. It literally sold out so fast. Because of that, we decided to turn it into a seasonal magazine, and our brand new spring issue just released. So Heaven and Home is now a print magazine subscription that's created to help you actually live out the liturgical seasons in your everyday life. Through your home, your traditions, your prayer life, your kitchen, your hosting, and the way that you just celebrate each season. The spring issue is all about stepping into the season of renewal and living the joy of the resurrection in really simple, tangible ways. Inside, there are 80 plus pages of reflections, prayers, feast day traditions, recipes, homemaking inspiration, and practical ways to build a more intentional domestic church. Plus, it's honestly so beautiful, it doubles as a coffee table book. You can purchase the spring issue on its own or subscribe and receive all 5 seasonal issues, spring, summer, fall, Christmas, and winter, as they release, so you can live the liturgical year season by season. The spring issue is now available, and if the Christmas issue was any indication, they may go quickly. So if you want to grab one, just head to the link in the show notes or shop at westcoastcatholic.co. Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to the Ever Be Podcast. It's your host, Mari Wagner, and today I'm here with a special guest, Melanie Petschke, one of the co-founders of Crunchy, which y'all have probably heard about from my end at this point. If you hear any podcasts or follow me on Instagram, I rave about it all the time. So I am so pumped for this conversation. Welcome, Melanie, to Ever Be.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Can you share a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're at, what you do, even though I kind of already gave a little sneak peek of that, just so we all know a little bit more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am originally a family nurse practitioner, but I had a little bit of a career change after Kelly and I launched Crunchy, which we just celebrated our 10th anniversary. I cannot believe that. But yeah, so prior to that, I was in healthcare for over 12 years. I am a mom of 2 amazing children. I've got an almost 15-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl, and my amazing husband, Carl. We live in South Florida currently. We've lived kind of all over the place, but currently we reside in South Florida. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful to be at the stage of life that I'm in, because every day is an adventure and every day is new. And It's great to have a mission like Crunchy, because it's really truly a mission more than it is a company.
I love hearing that. And congratulations, by the way. 10 years is such a huge accomplishment. I'm a business owner myself, and we're going into our 7th year. And I just like, every year you just feel the excitement and you feel like the accomplishment of getting to another year and continuing to keep going, because entrepreneurship life is not for everybody. It's so challenging, but it's so, so rewarding. So congrats. 10 years is so amazing.
Thank you. And yes, you described it perfectly.
It's a wild ride, and but it's very difficult. Yes. But I just want to start out just by hearing like how Crunchy even began. I love hearing you say it's more of a mission than a company. So I want to hear more about that. Like, what problem were you seeing in the world that needed to be solved? How did this even come about?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. My personal journey started when I was pregnant for the first time. So like many women, when they are bringing a little vulnerable being into the world, they start paying attention to things that maybe they hadn't thought about prior. So I was switching over my food and eating healthier and cleaner in that respect. I was also looking at things that I was bringing into my home. And somebody tipped me off the environmental working group website, the Skin Deep database, because they were trying to find a clean mascara. I was in a mom's group, and she was asking, has anybody found a clean mascara? And I looked at this woman. I was like, what on earth is she talking about? So that began my journey down the rabbit hole of cosmetics and how just because it's on the shelf does not mean it's safe. And I just could not learn enough when it came to ingredients and safety and things that we're putting on our body. And especially on a daily basis as a woman who I've worn makeup since I was in middle school. It was something that I just part of my routine. So to think that I was applying daily loads of toxins that I was unaware of was terrifying to me. So I was really grateful to wake up at that stage of life. And I was also very frustrated that here I was in a career where preventative health was why I chose being a nurse practitioner. And not one single lecture, not even a paragraph was ever touched on this topic when I was in school. So
wow,
that was very eye-opening as well. I'd like to think today that it might be different, but
hopefully.
Back then that was definitely not the case. Yeah, hopefully. So that kind of catapulted my personal journey. And then when I ended up moving across the country to South Florida, and I met Kelly, and we were both in a really similar stage in life. We actually met at a mom's night out and we both had young children and were almost pregnant with our second at the same time. So exact stage of life. Our kids are almost exactly the same age. We actually knew each other not just through that connection, but also because she was working in pharmaceutical sales at the time. So she actually called on me in the office where I was working. So we had kind of a multiple connection, but I ended up being, we recognized early that we were in a similar stage and that we were both trying to clean up our lifestyles in terms of finding cleaner alternatives for all sorts of things for ourselves, for our family. And I became a resource for her because she recognized quickly that I had been doing this for a few years. And so she'd call me and ask me for recommendations for safe products. Anyway, we were transitioning over so many aspects of our lives. But the one area that we could not find an option for that we were happy with was cosmetics. We tried brands and we would try brands and we'd find them and recommend them to one another. And they would either just not perform in terms of lasting throughout the day, or we would think we found one and then we would dive deeper and realize it was actually a greenwasher. It just had really good marketing, which was incredibly frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Or we'd find a brand and maybe they'd have one product that was super clean. So we just assumed they all were, and then we realized they weren't. But we could not find a color cosmetic brand at the time that just checked all of our boxes in terms of safety and performance. So that was really what inspired us. And Kelly was the one who got the crazy ambitious idea. And I looked at her like she was nuts because we both had two young children, you know, not even two and not even 4 years old between the two of us, or each of us did. And she kind of pushed me off the ledge. And I like a challenge. So I was like, all right, let's do this. So that's essentially how it all began.
Wow. I love hearing the backstory, and so fun that it just really kind of started with a friendship too, and just out of each of your own individual passions for cleaning up your own lifestyle, really being in the consumer's shoes yourself first and recognizing like this is the need because I'm feeling it every day. And then what a good friend, Kelly, being like, come on, Melanie, like let's do this. And I also just laugh at your experience of for the first time hearing someone say, like, I'm looking for a clean mascara. You're like, what are you talking about? I know when I first started my journey, people would say stuff and I'm like, that's a little like extreme. You know, like, are we even going down to the hair on our eyelashes? Like, come on, guys. But now that I've like really dove in the last couple years and done the research, and not only that, but actually found products that are working, it makes it so much easier to choose healthy products when you actually find a brand that you trust and that it works, because now you have peace of mind for safety and peace of mind for performance. So you don't have to be like, that's so extreme. It's like, no, this is actually the best of both worlds. But I know that a lot of people probably have a similar reaction or experience when they're first starting out or when they're kind of just dipping their toes into the clean living world. So for someone who's really new to clean beauty or maybe doesn't fully understand what that means, can you share like what is clean beauty? Why doesn't even matter? And why do brands often maybe kind of like stretch that definition?
Yeah, no, that's it's so important. And it's so challenging because there's no legal definition for the term clean, which is really frustrating because it would be great if it was super black and white and you just submitted an application and you could get the certification for clean and everybody was on the same playing field. That would be a dream. Unfortunately, it is quite the opposite. It's the wild, wild west. And you can take any product you want. It doesn't matter how conventional it is. It doesn't matter how many chemicals and when I say chemicals, I should say harmful chemicals or ingredients are in it. They can legally, or a company can legally, put clean on it and nobody can stop them. It's pretty wild. So
yeah,
my definition of clean really comes from evidence-based safety data. So if I want an ingredient to be permitted in a crunchy product, it has to check all of our safety threshold boxes, and it needs to be backed by science and data and research and studies in order to allow it in to our safe space of ingredients that we permit in a product. The way that the United States works, unfortunately, is ingredients are innocent until proven guilty, but we're quite the opposite. Everything is guilty until proven innocent. So we gather that information. We look on all of the available safety information, testing studies that are available to us in order to make a decision about each ingredient. And then we have our own internal protocol that takes it kind of to the extreme when it comes to an ingredient that's permitted in our product. But clean beauty should not be about marketing. It should not be about buzzwords. It should be about realistic, evidence-based safety data and transparent labeling. Because if you don't know what's in it, how the heck are you supposed to know, be able to assess its safety either? And that's a whole nother chapter.
Totally. And it's so frustrating as a consumer, you know, to hear you say that like anybody can just slap the label clean on, because it has forced us to become experts in this field. It's forced everybody to be like, if I actually want to know what I'm putting on my body, I have to start knowing and learning, like, what are these ingredients? What does it mean? How does it harm me? And, you know, we're doing our due diligence, but it's exhausting at times. And so, like I was saying before, it gives you so much peace of mind when you can actually find a brand that you trust. All of their products across the board are going through this process that you're explaining. Like, that's incredible that you're saying every single ingredient goes through this checklist, which means there's not just one product that checks all the boxes. It's like anything you're bringing in to your brand checks all those boxes. So then as a consumer, you can go back to just being a consumer and not a scientist and just like find the lip gloss that you want or find the blush that you want and just enjoy it.
Yeah, you should not have to have a PhD in chemistry to shop for your family, but it often feels like you do need one.
Yeah, exactly. And it's shocking that you're saying the beauty industry is so loosely regulated. So, and you're saying that the law, like the U.S. laws, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure like they haven't, is it like the food, U.S. FDA or whatever, like
the USDA
laws haven't been like a million years, right?
Yeah. So it has been since the 1930s that it had any sort of substantial overhaul. Now, with the exception of Mokra, which I would not call it a substantial overhaul, that was something that was enacted a few years ago. And it was a good start. It was the first time it had been touched, like we said, in over 80 years. So they had good intention in trying to implement some additional safety checkpoints and some safety measures. Unfortunately, it got started, but then didn't really, a lot of the things that had been talked about didn't actually come to fruition or are still under evaluation or are still trying to figure out how they can go about enacting some of these regulations and things. And it was barely skimming the surface. I was actually very disappointed to see what actually happened with that, because our hopes were up. But unfortunately, we are not like the EU and most countries in the world. Honestly, we are so far behind them in terms of regulation. So where it lands is on the consumer, unfortunately, because you cannot assume that it's safe if it's in the United States. You just can't. So it lands on the consumer to do our own due diligence and to be able to determine if something truly has that safety data and safety backing, because there are things on our shelves that we know and darn well are harmful to our to our bodies, and especially when we're putting them on multiple times a day, many, you know, many days a week, many days a year, and that cumulative effect, we know, and they should not legally be on the shelves, but they still are.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, like, what is the harm? Like, what is the harm of these ingredients on our health and our hormones?
Yeah. So, so you think of your skin is your largest organ, and not everything you put on your skin gets absorbed into your bloodstream, of course, but there's a pretty substantial amount that can penetrate down into your skin through those layers. It's not just a barrier. It absolutely can penetrate down into the skin and into your bloodstream. So you think about pharmaceuticals, you think about medications that you can apply topically. That's a perfect example of a very effective way to get certain ingredients into your body or certain molecules into your bloodstream. So the cumulative effect of these ingredients is what we call body burden. And it can happen, it's, you know, it's not just what you're putting on your body and what you're putting on your skin, but it's also the air you breathe, it's the water you drink, it's the food you eat, it's all around us. And it's this cumulative body burden. Specifically with cosmetics, I would say the two main categories that ingredients, harmful ingredients fall into are carcinogenic, so cancer-causing, or endocrine disruptors, so hormone-disrupting. And that second one is probably the even most prominent and concerning and well-documented. I mean, they've done studies where they have shown even just a 3 to 4 day dose of some of these ingredients is enough to detect in your fluids, your bodily fluids. And they've been also able to show that when you remove them for another time interval, they go away. So it's been proven time and time again that this is not fiction, this is real. And the concern with hormone disruption specifically is chemicals can mimic estrogen, they can block progesterone, they can affect thyroid function, they can interfere with insulin and cortisol signaling. So they can contribute to things like infertility, thyroid dysfunction, chronic inflammation, obesity. I mean, the list, and then there's symptoms too, of course, the list is so long. But one thing I point out to people who have maybe suffered from infertility, if you go into an infertility clinic, there's a reason that there's signs everywhere saying, do not wear any sort of fragrance product on our property, because it has an effect on the work that they're doing at the clinic to try to help people conceive. It's real science. It can't be denied, but it can definitely be ignored for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it can be ignored and overlooked because all of these outcomes you mentioned, infertility, thyroid problems, chronic illnesses, obesity, you kind of look around at our culture and you're like, oh, I'm seeing that everywhere.
Yep.
And we pass it off as like, oh, everybody just has something, you know, like it's just normal, you know, like chronic diseases happen, or there is like this fertility crisis right now, this hormone imbalance crisis right now. And I think once you really look at the data, we can't just kind of brush it off and shrug our shoulders and be like, oh, it's just like everybody has something. Yeah. It's like, no, something is causing an increase in these health problems.
Yes. And are we saying that it's 100% cosmetics? No. But is it a significant piece of the puzzle? Absolutely. Yes. And you pointed out those trends are not flat, and those trends are not improving. I mean, they are terrifying when you look year over year what's happening to our society and our health. And it's definitely a crisis. If you're someone who's learning for the first time to read labels, I always direct people first to looking for fragrance, because fragrance is one of the heaviest hitters in terms of concerning ingredients in products, because the word fragrance alone can hide anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 individual ingredients that are not disclosed in that product. And typically, if it's
So as a consumer, can you just give us a little bit more clarity and direction? What ingredients or category of ingredients should we be most aware of when it comes to makeup or skincare or products we're putting on our body?
Yeah, no, that's an important one. So if you are just learning to read labels, for example, and you flip over a product and you're reading the ingredient list, the easiest thing that I recommend to rule out or rule in a product, or at least to start, is looking for the word fragrance.
You guys know I care so deeply about what I'm putting on my skin, especially when it's something I'm wearing all day. And that's why I've been loving Crunchy's Beautifully Flawless Foundation. This is one of those products that truly bridges the gap between clean beauty and performance because it doesn't lack on either. It gives you that smooth, even, almost airbrushed look with great coverage without feeling heavy or cakey. It's lightweight, buildable, and gives you that really beautiful, natural, semi-matte finish. And what I love the most is that it's actually made with skin-loving ingredients. But even beyond this product, I trust everything Crunchy makes because of their ingredient standards. They have some of the strictest in the industry, banning over 10,000 ingredients that are commonly found in conventional drugstore and big name beauty products. Also, little update, if you've tried this product before or struggled to find your shade in the foundation, they recently added new shades with cooler and more neutral undertones, which I know so many of you have been wanting, so go check that out. If you've been trying to switch to cleaner makeup but feel like nothing performs the same, this is the one that I always come back to, so just trust me on this. You can shop it through my link in the show notes. And as always, if you want help color matching, just DM me the word color match with no spaces and I'll help you out in my DMs. Are you ready for a new adventure? Step a little deeper into the world of the Lord of the Rings with Into the Heart of Middle-earth by Caitlin Fasista. Drawing from Tolkien's letters, the wisdom of the saints, and years of reflection with her Tea with Tolkien community, Caitlin will help you see how the story of Middle-earth can illuminate your own journey of faith. Discover Into the Heart of Middle-earth wherever books are sold or at AveMariaPress.com.
Because fragrance is one of the heaviest hitters in terms of concerning ingredients in products, because the word fragrance alone can hide anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 individual ingredients that are not disclosed in that product. And usually you would see that toward the end of the list of the ingredient, mm-hmm. and it's listed as either just the word fragrance, or it can say parfum, or it can say, there was a tricky one recently that I heard, aroma, that's what it was. Ooh. That also counts as fragrance. And it can even say natural fragrance, which sounds very innocent. But the reality is we also don't know what exactly is behind that word. Mm-hmm. Because in the United States, fragrance has the ability to hide behind it, meaning we do not have to technically disclose what actually is making up that fragrance. And most of the time, what is giving that product that fragrance is actually what's considered a phthalate, which is what fragrance is used to be strong and powerful or to last really long time. I don't know if you've ever gotten to give somebody a hug and they've got a strong perfume on and maybe it transfers to your skin or a jacket or something and it just lingers. That's a perfect example of how powerful those chemicals can be. Mm. It's also a sign that there's very, very powerful phthalates in that product that are allowing that to happen. And phthalates are hormone disruptors or endocrine disruptors. So huge ingredient to avoid. And it's a simple one. I know sometimes it's a tough transition if you're used to having things smell constantly or smell nice. It doesn't mean it's not possible. There are some cleaner scents and some cleaner fragrances out there. But it's a good, safe assumption until you have proof that it is safe. Mm-hmm. It's pretty safe to assume that what's behind the word fragrance, for example, is probably something you want to be avoiding. So I would say if you were looking for one in particular, that would be what to look for first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely.
There's others.
Yeah. I know there's a lot. Yeah. But that's definitely what I point people to first and what I share, because I mean, we could share the complicated names of other ingredients, but like, we're not going to remember that right off the bat every time we look at an ingredient label. But fragrance, I think, is the easiest thing to spot. And once you actually know the harm of it, you can easily make that decision. Okay, this has fragrance. This is immediately not actually clean. And it frustrates me so much lately because I see all these clean brands popping up that people are promoting for them as clean. And I'll get so excited. It'll be like, ooh, new clean brand. And I'm like, I'm just going to check the ingredients. And fragrance is always on there. And I'm like, you guys, this is like 101. Like, we know that if we see fragrance, it's not clean. So it just goes back to greenwashing and how marketing just makes you think it is one way and it's not.
Really good marketing.
Really good marketing. And as a consumer, it's just, it is so hard to know when a brand or a product is actually non-toxic. So what does ingredient transparency really look like as a brand? And as consumers, how can we make that decision and tell when a brand is really being honest or not?
Yeah, it's really, really hard because like you just said, marketing can be so deceiving. So one easy button that I have recommended for people in recent years especially is finding a really solid rating system. There's no such thing as a perfect rating system or app that exists. There are flaws with all of them. But we have recently found a newfound respect for the Environmental Working Group's database. They have a verification program. And just to give you some background, back in the day, they didn't have this program. And so we could submit our ingredient listings to them. They would ask a couple questions, you know, what percentage of this, what percentage of that, and we'd be able to submit that. And then we'd get fair ratings from them up on their database, which was great. And it was free and super useful. Unfortunately, over time, that was not a sustainable option just because of the numbers. And so they created this verification program. And initially, we're like, no, we don't want to do that because it appears that we're paying for ratings. But the reality is kind of like a USDA certified organic. In order to be evaluated to have the potential to get the rating, that is what you're paying for. So we decided eventually to go ahead and invest in the verification program. And I am so impressed with the level of scrutiny that they and the steps they take in order to verify ingredients and products. I think I underestimated the level of scrutiny that they were going to be asking and the testing and the, you know, the third party testing and then the documentation. They really, really do a fantastic job and they have a whole team, whole science team that is behind it and are constantly updating and evolving. In fact, right after this today, I have an update call where I'm hearing what the latest ingredients that they're either now allowing or the ones that they are removing from their restricted list or removing from their approved list. And so this verification program, it gives you just an easy button. So when you can go to the database, you can see ratings for all sorts of products. But if they have the verification stamp, you know that they went through this the very, very painful process of their detailed protocol that's required in order to get that verification for safety. And like I said, it's not perfect. I can give an example. We prioritize non-GMO ingredients and organic ingredients, for example. They don't really care about that. They don't mark brands down or give you bonus points or anything. So the way that I describe it is we're EWG verified and beyond. There's definitely ingredients on our restricted list that they do not have on their restricted list that they permit in certain percentages. A good example is phenoxyethanol. It's a preservative, super common one, very controversial. They permit it up to a certain percent in their products, at least they do today. We do not. We drew the line in the sand early on, said this one's too controversial. Why is it? Why bother? Why it's not worth it? There's others that are safer out there that we can use. Sure, it might take longer. It might be a harder process, but we really, really felt strongly about that one early on. So like I said, it's not perfect, and you would call us, you know, EWG verified and beyond. But if you're looking for just a quick, easy button, it is one of my favorites for sure.
That's incredible. I'm going to make sure to link that in the show notes so people can access that resource.
Yeah.
They've never used it or don't know where to find it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was just going to say that one cautionary, if you're going to link it, is do not assume that if a brand is on there, that every single one of their products is verified.
Right.
Because that's an assumption that people make. It's a commitment that we've made as a brand. Unless we're discontinuing a product or, you know, it's a seasonal ingredient or seasonal product, but there are many brands where maybe one or two will be on there, but then there's a reason that the others are not.
Right. You have to pay attention to the product that's on there and just apply that rating to the product, not the whole brand.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. The other two things I was going to share, I'll also drop a link in the show notes for a free download I have of like top ingredients to be aware of. It's like an ingredients cheat sheet, basically. And then what I actually did is I copied and pasted that whole list of ingredients that are on like the blacklist And I put that into a ChatGPT like helper. And I told it like, learn these ingredients and be my like clean beauty checker for me. And now all, and you still have to like fact check some things. I feel like I can't trust like AI 100%, but I'll put a brand or a product link or something. And I'll say, scan through this ingredient list, or I'll just copy and paste the ingredient list and let me know if it passes my my list or not. And then it'll tell me on its own, like, these are the ingredients that are in there that are on your blacklist. So like, it's a no-go. Or it'll say, you know, it has this, but it's like not organic. So if you don't care about that, then it might be a cleaner option. And it kind of gives you a breakdown. So that's been helpful too.
Yeah. One caveat for those advanced listeners, because I know some people have been doing this just as long as we have. But one thing behind the scenes, one thing that's very frustrated is you can have a vitamin E, for example, so like a tocopherol, and you can have the ingredient list just say tocopherol. But what was terrifying or equally interesting is that the actual origin of that ingredient can be from a number of different things. So it can be, I know in our case, our tocopherol comes from, I would say the majority of the time, we're very picky about where we source it, but non-GMO sunflower oil is the main source of our vitamin E. However, it also can be completely synthetic from a lab derived from petroleum. And it could still say on the label, you know, a very similar or the same type of terminology. So that's the part where it gets tricky and where you want to take that to the next level and really get to know the company. You know, is this a company that's investing in ingredients that are made from things that are safer, or are they looking for the cheapest option? Because you better believe that that synthetic option is much cheaper.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good note for sure. Well, let's dive into skincare a little bit, because I think that's another thing I come across where there's a lot of maybe intimidation or confusion. And I know that's how I felt like when I was getting into skincare. I was like, I think I want to do this. I want to try out some products, but I have no idea where to start or what they do. So for women who are maybe new to skincare or want to start getting into it this year, but are overwhelmed or confused, what should they start with? What is your recommendation?
Yeah, no, that's a great one. And it's important and should not be stressful. It should be self-care. It should be fun and an enjoyable experience for sure. So definitely don't want to complicate it. I would say first, it kind of depends on what your goals are. If your goals are just simply to dive in and kind of take it from there, I would say a basic cleanser is a good step. And then some sort of basic moisturizer is a great second step. And then if you're in an area where there's a lot of sun exposure, or even not, just depending on your philosophy on sun protection, it's a really good step because it's preventative, because that daily sun exposure is actually one of the fastest at increasing the look of aging or increasing aging of the skin. So it's important for prevention's sake. So that's a real simple, you know, three-step right there for you, for those that are really, really diving in basic. And then once you are comfortable with that, you can modify it and add things just based on what you're interested in. So I always recommend some sort of facial exfoliator of some sort a couple times a week. And great way to do that is our I Am Polished facial exfoliator. For example, you want to make sure you apply it to dry skin. You don't want to put it on wet, and then you let it sit for the number of minutes that your skin can tolerate, and then you can rinse it off. And it's both of it has exfoliants that are part of the ingredients, but also in terms of the what we would call a chemical exfoliant, or there's also a physical exfoliant in it as well. So it's really helping slough off that dead top layer of skin and help that cell turnover to really just improve the appearance. And then it also helps then absorb the active ingredients in the products you're using better when you have that step. So that would be my recommendation on where to start. And then you can go all sorts of directions from there. There's some important, you know, vitamin C's.
Serums and stuff.
Yeah. Peptides are important. Yes. Some sort of toner or essence step is a great addition as well.
I mean, I'll make sure to link a little skincare guide as well if people want to dive into each one of those and what each one of those does and everything. But I also love the exfoliator. I use it a couple times a week. And it is just exactly what you said. It's self-care. And it's just like the most luxurious morning. When I take the extra 5 minutes to put that on my face, I'm like, I know I'm taking care of my skin, and it feels like a little mini spa moment in my bathroom. So one of my favorite products as well.
That's awesome.
How long should, in your opinion, someone realistically give a product a try before deciding like, oh, it's working for me or it's not working for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say at least a month, as long as your skin is tolerating it. You know, if you had a reaction, of course, that's what you're going to stop. And that can happen in any product. A good myth busting tip is just because a product is clean and just because it's primarily derived of plant ingredients, you know, that does not make it exempt from having potential allergies. People can be allergic to anything. Mm-hmm. So if you have a reaction to something where you want to stop it immediately, of course, and consult your qualified healthcare provider for next steps, because we can't give medical advice, even though it's challenging.
Yes.
Because that's my background. I would say, so assuming that is not the case, I would say give it a good month to 6 weeks to really get a feel for the product, how your skin's doing with it. Mm-hmm. And then you also ideally don't want to be starting 6 new products at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's great to kind of ease into it. That way you get to know them one by one. If you start 6 at the same time and one is not working for you, you're not going to know which one it is, of course. So it's good to just kind of slowly bring them into the mix, and then you can get a feel for what is best for your skin type.
I love that. I have a question too. I have heard people say that sometimes when you're starting new skincare, right, you have to, like, your skin starts breaking out before it cleans up, right? Like, it gets worse before it gets better. What is your thought on that take?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely not the case for everyone, but that absolutely can happen.
Okay.
There's different theories as to why that can happen. Oftentimes, it's an adjustment period, and your pH can be adjusting, your oil production can be adjusting. So it's definitely something that can happen. Mm-hmm. I would say in terms of our ingredients, we make an effort to, on our approval process, make sure that that ingredient is not known for being comedogenic. And this isn't meaning cause acne or cause any sort of congestion. It's a tricky, tricky topic, because kind of like that vitamin E example I gave you, mm-hmm. a specific ingredient can be on one of those lists where maybe it's like, it's not good, but it's not bad. But the reality is because you have to look at the specific one you're referring to. Has that been tested? How is it made? What is it made of? All of those things. So it's tricky when you get people that are acne prone trying to navigate this. So we just, by default, require non-comedogenic ingredients in all of our products, so people don't have to think about it and don't have to worry about that. I personally suffered from acne lots of my life, so I'm very, very sensitive to the topic, and the last thing I want to do is be congesting people's pores.
Totally.
So it's definitely a priority.
Amazing.
For sure.
Amazing. As we close out here, what's one small realistic step that listeners can take this week to move towards safer beauty choices?
Oh gosh. I would say don't be overwhelmed. Don't try to dive in and change everything all at the same time. That is not very economically sound. True. It's not good for the environment. Just switch things over as you run out of them or as you feel ready and comfortable, and just one at a time, baby steps. Even small changes can make a really, really big impact over time.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. It took me a couple years to get to where we are. And so little by little, you'll start learning the ingredients, you'll start learning new brands, and as things run out. And I've heard a lot of times in this space, like, the stress that you can put on yourself can just be just as harmful than the ingredients. So don't stress about it. Don't overwhelm. Just go one by one, for sure, is the best advice that we can give. Well, everybody here knows that I love Crunchy so much. I'm so just honored to partner with you guys. But I want to hear from you, because I knew that, you were just the best person to bring on to talk about all this. But I would love to just give you the space to share, how is Crunchy working to stand out in the clean beauty market?
So we recently modified our name and our subtitle. It used to be Crunchy Smart Conscious Beautiful, but now we have evolved into Crunchy Uncompromised Clean Beauty. Mm-hmm. And that's because we really have made the effort and the investment to not compromise when it comes to safety of ingredients, to not compromise when it comes to performance, mm-hmm. and to not compromise when it comes to sustainability. So I would say the way that we really are standing out in the marketplace among all of the noise that's hard to filter through sometimes really goes into those three categories. And I could talk about each one of those at length if you'd like at any point, but really ultimately that's the fastest way to summarize that is that we refuse to compromise.
Totally. Yeah. And we see it in the results. I've had friends who, and I've even worn this as a bridesmaids in weddings. I've had friends who have worn it as brides in their weddings. And I feel like that's the biggest testament when people choose to trust products for their wedding day and it lasts all day.
Yeah.
You know that it can truly stand the test of time.
Yeah, I agree. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you, Melanie, so much for your time and all the wisdom that you shared with us today. It was such a fun conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's an honor. I appreciate all that you do as well and sharing our mission.
Yeah, totally. We'll make sure to have all the links below so people can find you guys.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.